Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another chance to minister His Word. I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit who guides us to minister His Word. And I thank the Lord for His Word. His Word is mighty. It does more for the human race than anything else on the planet. When people live the Word of God, they set a new standard in the earth. They are sowing seeds of life. Every act of kindness, every word spoken in faith is also simultaneously sowing seeds of life. And that helps people make choices. And every act of kindness must be rewarded. Now, the acts of evil works in reverse. It's sowing too. But it's sowing weeds, problems. And I've seen so many Christians bound by their choices, by problems. And they don't know how to get out of it. But a healthy appetite, a healthy intake of the Word of God will change all of it. And sometimes people don't study because they haven't developed an appetite for the Word. As we take on the Word, we want more of it because our vision increases. The Word always helps our vision to increase. Let me put it this way. The Word of God that you believe, that you have faith in, increases your vision. Sometimes people read the Word and they'll say, well, that's what God did for others. And they read the mighty works of Samson, and well, God did that for Samson. Think about it for a moment. All right, put yourself in his position. You're Samson. You're surrounded by enemies. It looks terrible. It looks like you can't win. But you are anointed to be a judge and to kill your enemies, to protect the covenant of God, the covenant he made with Father Abraham. And you know this, and it looks like you can't win. Your enemy has you surrounded. They are mightier, and they've got all the weapons. They've taken all the weapons from your people. Your people, all they have is farming equipment. No knives, no swords, and you're living under their mercy, and they hate you. Now, you're Samson. This is your life. This is your situation. Samson is in your situation. He could not see God. He could not see what would happen. But when the anointing was on him, nobody could kill him. And he could kill them. He had the advantage. As long as he kept covenant, he had the advantage. This Samson is you. You are in Samson's situation. Spiritually, you must win your war and fight the good fight and finish your course. And it's easy. Remember, everything, just because you can't see something and it doesn't appear a certain way, it doesn't mean it's not true. You can't see the devil, but he's there to aggravate you. You can't see God, but he's there to bless you. Now, sometimes people preach the word as if God is on the throne and he decides what happens to you. That's not true. You decide what happened to you. God has already promised to keep his word. Whatever he said that we have, we have. We have to act. Every time Samson acted, the anointing came on him. If when God anoints you to do something, when you're doing something in the name of the Lord, the anointing is there to help you do it. The angels are there to protect your life and back you up. And God is there to give you the strength, the wisdom, the might, the knowledge, the counsel to do what you have to do. This is what you have to look at, and that's what the word, that's the vision the word will show you if you believe it. If you don't believe it, or if you believe it wrong, you can't do it because it's not by your might. And other people can't do it for you. It's not by power. It's by the Holy Spirit. If you take God at His word and you act on it, even reluctant people, you will inspire vision in them. And at first they'll say it can't happen. They'll try to talk you out of it. But you're like a mighty machine. You're like a track loader, a bulldozer, a Sherman tank. You're moving forward. No matter what they say, you're doing what needs to be done. You're acting on God's word. You're doing the things that God show you to do. You're moving forward. Nobody can do anything about it. They try to stop you. They run out of air trying to stop you. They're like Job's friend. They talk till they can't talk no more. And you're still going forward. And God is still with you. The angels are still backing you up. And sometimes the Lord will have you do it without their knowledge. And the next thing you know, you're doing something. And it starts multiplying. And the naysayers, they see you multiplying. And they're diminishing. And after a while, they're getting inspired and join you. And they'll look up to you. And you're still moving by your faith. Your vision's increasing. Theirs is too. And then they start helping you. And the very people who said it couldn't happen, they become like Caleb. That's how it works. Everything God did, it shouldn't have happened. It looked impossible. From man's point of view, it looked like it couldn't happen. I'm not just talking about people. This nation was founded because people wanted to know God. They were not perfect. They didn't know everything. The Catholic Church had went rogue, and it was backed by evil kings and their armies. That was their situation. They were like Samson. They wanted change. They prayed for it. And when the new land was discovered, they came to build a better life. They risked everything they had. So they died in the cold. They had problems. They got over to this land, didn't have food. They had to plant food. They had to do everything. They did what they could do, and they made it. And survived. Now, remember the law of the seed. You produce after your kind. They wanted change so bad, they launched out, and they did something about it. So everybody who came to this country, they're like Marines. They're the best of the best. And they can outlast anybody. They are tough people that came here. Even the people, the immigrants that's coming now, they hated the way that their country went, run by drug cartels and evil. And they come here to live a better life. And I thank God for every one of them. I thank God for every person of every nationality that come here to be a life. They may not know everything. They may not think like me. They just want to live and raise their family in peace. They want a better future for their children. And I love people like that. I love people that launch out into the unknown to do something better. Even if they don't know God, they may not know why they're doing it. But this country was founded on people who came out of a grim situation. And then the country got divided by slavery. And they realized it wasn't good. And they prayed against it. They fasted against it. They prayed for change. The slaves and people who just knew it was wrong. People who benefited from slavery, they fought to keep it. They were blinded and seduced, just like a man that gets in the world. They thought they were right, just like people who do things now. They think they're right, and they look for preachers that will condone what they're doing. Some of the slave owners were Christians, taught the slaves to read the Word of God. They read the Word of God, got inspired, prayed for change. Christians are not perfect. And that's been the theme of these teachings. The church has been infiltrated from the time of Christ. the enemy has been trying to get people in to destroy it. And that's, and Peter wrote about it, and Paul wrote about it. John wrote about it, and James wrote about it. That they will come. John even said they leave us to prove that they were not of us. So everybody who believed on Jesus, they learned the word of God, they changed, they went back to the world, but they still kept the name of a Christian. And they were tares. And tares inspire people too, just like men of God inspire people. So you had some Christians who love God for real, and some who thought God condoned what they were doing. And a mindset is hard to beat. It's hard to break. But your prayer and your dedication to the Word of God can break that hard mindset. It can shatter that hard heart. It can win, even if they have to die. Stonewall Jackson, they said he was a very devout Christian. He quoted the scriptures. He loved God, but he was fighting for the Confederacy. And he probably thought he was right. He died in war. I watched a movie that represented him, Gods and Generals. I said, and when I saw that movie, it reminded me of the stubbornness that I ran into when I was trying to get good men of God to follow God. When I was introduced, see, the church had to be introduced. Kenneth Hagin introduced faith to the church. He got a lot of letters of complaint because people do not like change. If they think they're right, they try to stay in there. They try to change you to be like them. But he met them with faith and courage. He healed the sick, raised the dead, opened the blind eyes, opened ears. Beat cancer. He laid hands on people. They get healed of whatever they had. And other ministers did the same thing. Charles Capps taught everybody how to speak by faith and direct their lives by faith. Okay, and then the Lord gave me this assignment to introduce people to follow God. Just do what the Holy Spirit tell you to do. And it'll be done. So I did it. And when I and then miracles followed. Signs and wonders happened. But they still were reluctant, just like Stonewall Jackson in his beliefs. And the Lord knows when people are sincere and they're wrong. You can be sincere and love and truly love God and be wrong about something. And you'll stay wrong until you enlighten, until your heart is enlightened by the Word of God. And then you'll say, oh, and you'll realize the love of God that was shared on you. God didn't just turn his back on you. If you were trying to learn, he taught you. If you were stubborn, he couldn't teach you. And you had to hit the brick walls. And then everybody do the shotgun repentance. They ask the Lord to forgive them of everything. But there are some things you don't know how to repent from. But if you continue in the Word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will definitely set you free. So it's not wise to not have a healthy intake of the Word of God. When the Lord told me to read chapters, I got a better perception. I saw more than I could see before. And he was patient. He knew that he knew where I was right and wrong. He used me where he could. He helped me where he could. He didn't trust me to do everything, but he trusted me to do what he knew I could do. And I started watching to see how God would use me, so I know how to. I would learn from what God was doing, so I could change my bad opinions. I knew I had them. I still do. But if I find them, I kill it. If it don't sit well with the Holy Spirit, then I start asking God questions, and he start giving me answers. And if I'm wrong, then he correct me. If I don't, at this point, anything that I'm doing, if it's not right, I just don't know it. Because if I know it, I'm going to kill it. If I lost a battle somewhere, I ask the Lord, why did I lose that battle? Why was not I faithful in that situation? And so I started saying that I would do all that's in God's heart on purpose, enthusiastically. I want to do whatever God say. I'm trusting God with my life. And I'm going to do all that's in his heart so that when he say something, I'll act on it and not let it go. Some things take courage. Every time I feel challenged, my antennas go up. And I get in conquering mode. And once God showed me my wisdom, I'm after it. Like a lion after his meal, like a tiger after his chase. I'm going to kill something. That's how we have to be. And that's the only way we develop. You have to get mad and fight. And it's good. And then when you do that, you raise the bar. You change the facts on the ground. You inspire people to do better. And you're inspired to do better by the Holy Spirit. You cooperate. You see the benefit of it. Your vision increases. And then the Lord can bless you. Take you forward. You come out of false prophet comfort zones. And the reason I say false prophet comfort zones, because false prophets don't have life. And all they can do is look the part. And they use tactics to do it. They use fear tactics. They use false promises. Way off illusions. You know, they make you feel like you're important if you do what they say. And everything, and the move of God is just a long shot. Because they're sterile. There's no life in them. And they know it. They know they can't do miracles. They can't raise the dead. They can't cast out demons. Because if you love the world somewhere, you can't do these things. But you can work lying miracles. And if you rebuke the devil, know if you're not on God's side. The devil ain't stupid in the sense of warfare. If you're in his territory somewhere, he don't have to listen to you. He know this. So the fool, the false prophet, when they rebuke the devil, he'll leave. But he's still there. He'll stop his actions and they'll believe that he's gone. But he's still there. Inducing their corruption. Making them feel good. Making them look good. Remember this. When something's not right, there's no fight. A false religion can seem to thrive because there's no opposition from Satan. All right? Every false religion, first he has to create darkness. He has to create darkness. A false prophet move would not work without darkness. Satan has to get people in the dark. Once he get them in the dark, then he uses false illusions, false perceptions, persuasions, temptation to keep everything going, keep it moving. It's a seduction. Now he don't make people do these things, he drive them to it. He drive people to make the choice to do wrong on purpose no matter what. From the false prophet to the people that look to him. There's no fight in them. They're being weakened. Like that analogy I gave about the fly that got caught in the spider's web. The spider didn't just let him stay there and wiggle himself out. He wrapped him up with so much thread you couldn't even tell what kind of bug the fly is. He ain't going nowhere now. That's how he do people. If he can harden your heart against the principles of God somewhere, he got you captured. If he give you false information about Jesus, now the way of truth is evil spoken of, like we read in the last broadcast, in 2 Timothy 4. The way of evil is spoken against. And then people believe it that don't know about it. They're in the dark. Now they're trapped. It's going to take somebody with a strong anointing to turn the lights on, break the yokes of bondage, cut their spider web cords that's got them bound up. Destroy the yokes of Satan, the bonds of Satan. Get them out of Satan's jail so that they can see the truth, receive the truth, speak the truth, and come out of that mess. But when there's a true prophet speaking the word of God, the enemy will speak evil of them and try to deter people from hearing, make them feel lazy. You don't feel like listening to that preacher today. You don't feel like reading the word today. You don't feel like talking to the Holy Spirit today. Why don't you just sit back, relax, watch TV, and just sit there and rest. You've been working hard. These are the thoughts that attack you. I say attack because they come to do Satan's purpose. If you want your family to thrive, you have to take time and listen to the word. God won't love you no more if you take time and study the word than he did if you didn't. But one proverb said, if you're wise, you're wise for you. God is fine. He gonna love you whether even if you go to hell. You just being wise for your future so that you can keep the process going. Now this is the thing about that. The enemy did me the same way that I'm describing. And sometimes it worked. But I found out that as I pushed forward and studied the word, I enjoyed it more than watching TV. I enjoyed spending time with the Lord more than other things. And I still take time and watch TV. I still take time and watch movies I like. But if it's anything that's corrupt, it vexed my, I don't want to see it. It vexed my spirit. I lost my appetite for some things. I love to watch action movies, but when this harsh language, I just lost my appetite. I just don't watch it. I used to watch them, and now I don't have appetite for that. I like to see the good guy win, the bad guy lose. I like a good plot. There are things you like in this life, and God's not taking that away from you. But just be word-based. Be biblical. And you have an appetite. You want to study God's word. You have a deep desire for it. I look forward to getting up ministering God's word. And I thank God for the internet. I get to preach to the world from my garage while my family's still asleep. I love it. Now, God loves his people. You have to have the fight of Samson in you. Now, last time we read in 2 Kings chapter 13, and we made it down to where Elisha was shooting them arrows. Here in verse, he was talking to Jehoash. I'll start at verse 14 again. Now Elisha was fallen sick of a sickness whereof he died. And Joash king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said to him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it, and see, Syria was toward the east. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. Now watch this. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Now that's the purpose of doing this. And the king knew this. From Syria. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him. Watch this, folks. The man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died and they buried him. Now, this shows us something that we need to see and understand well. No man can fight beyond his conviction. Jehoash came, he had enough conviction to come and see about the prophet. And that gave God opportunity to do something for him. Now he had invested interest in defeating Syria. Syria was Satan's top stronghold against Israel. At that time, they were more of a threat to Israel than Egypt was. And Egypt was always trying to get them back in slavery, but they couldn't tackle Israel. Now, Syria, however, was closer. They were in a strategic location. They could do more damage. And as the people got into idolatry, they would come and conquer them, make their country weak. Their influence was against them. They used the same witchcraft from Egypt that Jeroboam did. You can read about that in the book I wrote called The Spirit of Egypt. And Ben-Hadad was a terrible enemy, and he set up a terrible stronghold against Israel. It's all in the history of the kings. Now, when he says shoot the ground, Jehoash knew to shoot it more than once. But he shot the ground according to his conviction at that time. He didn't just shoot it 3 times. He didn't just shoot it 1 time. He shot it 3 times. He had some conviction. He had a measure of fight in him. But if he would have just shot it at least 2 more times, he would have destroyed Syria. They would not have been the stronghold. And Israel may have avoided captivity if he would have gotten rid of that enemy. And then, see, Israel always had external enemies to drive them by Satan, to drive them away from God. And then they had internal enemies. And so the internal enemies are nationals who have sided with idols and Satan, basically. They sided with deception against God. Israel still has this problem. And most of the people are blinded by God because of this. Because it grew so bad. See, God, they couldn't represent God anymore, so he blinded them. And he used the people who love him. Some people just, they sided with the devil. Now, when that happens, they're tainted. God can't use them. They're lukewarm. They know that there's a God, but they worship him wrong. They call him something that he's not. They try to shape God into their terms. They make the word say what they want it to say. But we need the word to say what it's saying, and then we got to believe it, and then we speak it, and then we make progress. You're not going to fight your warfare unless you raise your conviction. You got to get to the point where I'm going to do this. I'm going forward. You got to get to the point, I'm going to do whatever it takes. That's the same conviction that would have caused you to shoot the arrows 5 or 6 times. You got to kill your enemies. Spiritually speaking, you have to kill what's holding you back. If you feel reluctant, ask yourself, why am I reluctant? If studying the word, we all notice that when we study the word, we get stronger and stronger, we grow. Now, from the beginning, you can't always see what's going to happen. But when you move forward and attack your problems and things that's holding you back and things that's holding your children back, you change the type of person you are. And then it affects your seed after you, even if they're already born. Because the choices you make You're shaping your seed. You're bearing. We're adjustable. When you make the right choices and decisions, you're doing it publicly. And your children will see the results of it. And then God will also honor your choices and help your children do the same thing. We bear fruit after our kind. I learned that as a minister, if I keep taking courage, if I take the courage road, do it God's way, the people who hear me, they'll do the same thing. Anybody that received my message, the anointing that God has put on me will get on them. The anointing come to break yokes and deliver people. They'll have a mind to follow God the same way. Now, I can't control people's choices, but by loving people like God loves them, by walking in wisdom, by being courageous and brave, speaking the word in season and out of season, doing what's right because it's right, living with purpose, it gives everybody after me that hears me, that gets in them. That's a beautiful thing that God set up. But if I allow Satan somewhere, they will too. Or they'll be challenged to. Parents can leave many hurdles in front of their children, or they can knock them all down. We bear fruit after our kind. The anointing is powerful and it doesn't die. Now, God loves us and he wants to see us in our best shape.